81 degrees in downtown Denver, 70 degrees here in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Colorado. Friday, September 22nd, 2023, 6 minutes after 5 o'clock. Staffan Tubbs, Jim Nichols at the controls, Lori Kelman in our newsroom. We begin hour number two of the program. We've got terrific guests, in fact, three of them coming up in this hour. We are here in Washington, D.C. for one reason and one reason only, and that is to document as best we can a what's expected to be a large gathering of family members who have lost their loved ones to fentanyl. There is a large gathering that is planned for tomorrow, a rally. There will be speakers and then a march from the Washington Monument to the White House. It's put on by a group you may have seen on social media, Lost Voices of Fentanyl. And there are many, many different groups. Our friend of the program, Andrea Thomas, will join us in about an hour. She is the founder of Voices for Awareness. And we are here, and I mentioned it last hour, and I will say it again because I'm actually proud to say this is a self-serving trip. I appreciate management for letting me take the show on the road with you this afternoon and evening. But we are continuing our production of our upcoming documentary film on the deadly impact fentanyl has had and will continue to have today and tomorrow and next week and next year and the years after that if we don't change something at the United States-Mexico border. It is not going to eliminate it, but it certainly would help. I mean, the amount we took a call last hour from a caller in Denver. His name was Michael, first-time caller. And he was talking about, and I have not done the research to you know, verify if Michael was telling, you know, the accurate information, but I believe the guy. He said that recently in Pennsylvania, some dude with 9 kilos of fentanyl powder was just released, and there was no, But see, this is the type of thing that's going on in this country, and as I speak to you tonight, I'm 3 blocks from the White House, and it really does start there. I was talking with friends, one of my cameramen on the journey here to D.C. This is his first time ever to the nation's capital, and I looked at him when we walked up Pennsylvania Avenue to 1600 Pennsylvania, and I looked at him and I said, like it or not, right, doesn't matter your politics, this is the most powerful building in the world. And some of you may be going, there he goes again, exaggerating. But no, it's true. Whether you like the power that's exuding from it or you don't like it, it's still pretty powerful here. And I look at all of the, I mean, right now, for those of you that that talk the swamp, I mean, baby, I'm knee deep in it right now. And that's where I want to start. How about Bribery Bob? Now, for those of you that don't know, Senator Robert Menendez, he's a Democrat senator from New Jersey. He is very, very wishy-washy, would be like a gold medal for him. This guy doesn't he doesn't think that there's a big enough problem at the border to get all, you know, get your, you know, your underwear in a ruffle. He doesn't think that that's a big deal. The fentanyl problem, well, it's bad, but it's not that bad. Well, Bribery Bob is what I'm going to call this guy until November 3rd. Jim, if you would, Menendez won.
U.S. Attorney Damian Williams says the bribes came to Senator Robert Menendez and his wife in different forms.
Cash, gold, home mortgage payments, a low-show or a no-show job for Nadine Menendez, a Mercedes-Benz.
New Jersey senior senator is also accused of using his leadership role on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to benefit business associates and the government of Egypt. Menendez calls it a smear campaign and says previous federal charges against him did not stick.
Now, friends, you know what a smear campaign is? I call you, you are ugly. You are ugly. You bad breath, B.O., you are ugly. Your clothes are dirty. That's a smear campaign. I'm telling you how ugly you are. This is a bribery case. Bribes from Egypt? From Egypt? From Egypt. And these are... our friends on the left are the ones that are bringing these charges. This is from the Southern District of New York in Manhattan. Who in God's name gets gold bars? Who gets gold bars? You either have a gold bar or you don't. It's not pixie dust. It's not like, oh, look at this little vial. I was panning for gold in the Colorado high country. You're either getting a gold bar or you're not. That's not a smear campaign. You are either getting a gold bar, getting a Mercedes, getting cash, getting jobs for your friends or loved ones, and mortgages? Mortgages. I mean, times are, they have been better in this country, but bribery, Bob, these are all of the allegations. Let's get to cut number Menendez 2, please, Jim.
On the surface, at least, it appears pretty damning. Now, the political implications are clear. Menendez is up for re-election next year, and that is normally a guaranteed Democratic seat. It has been in recent times, at least.
Larry Sabato is a political analyst. And then, Jim, cut number 5, please.
Menendez did release a statement, and he said, quote, "I am confident that this matter will be successfully resolved once all of the facts are presented, and my fellow New Jerseyans will see this for what it is." He is saying that this is a politically motivated prosecution.
Politically motivated? Dude either has gold bars, a Mercedes from Egypt, not from you. I mean, I'm sure this Mercedes was built in Germany, but maybe a gift of, you know, Egypt? The mortgages, the job? How is this a smear campaign? Look, bribery Bob is innocent until proven guilty, but to just call this a smear campaign, and oh, by the way, it doesn't help that we end this week here on the East Coast in the time zone of the Eastern time, and as of right now, New Jersey's governor would like Senator Menendez to resign. Before we get to our special guests from the Complete Solution Group, Jim, if we could, the president of the United States, he announced something just monumental today. Yes, I'm being a smartass. I'm sure that the newly created office that we're about to hear, I'm sure it'll make a difference, like putting cackling Kamala, the vice president, naming her the border czar. Jim, please, Biden guns won.
I'm proud to announce the creation of the first ever White House office of gun violence prevention, the first office in our history.
The White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. That'll work, Joe. That'll work. Biden guns too, please.
If members of the Congress refuse to act, then we'll need to elect new members of Congress that will act. Democrat or Republican.
Oh, Democrat or Republican. Members of Congress like bribery Bob Menendez, the senator from New Jersey, who allegedly has received cash, a Mercedes, some mortgages, good jobs for friends and family, and let's not forget gold bars. When we were flying out to Washington, D.C., I saw on the monitor in front of me, thank you, United Airlines, for having DirecTV. The CNN headline on the flight out was astonishing. I tried to get my phone to take a screenshot of it because I thought maybe there may have been a CNN typo. It wasn't. The headline, more than 8,000 migrants cross the United States-Mexico border in a 24-hour period earlier this week. Our border consultant, John Fabricatori, is here with me. He's become a very frequent guest. I think we should start paying him, or he needs to take over 4 to 7 on Monday, November 6th. But John is here. He, of course, was the ICE field director, the office director there in Colorado until retirement a little more than a year ago. He's a friend, and he's a friend of our program. And he's also here because fentanyl and the issues surrounding fentanyl, see, there's just this intertwining. You know, you have an open, porous border, and you've got Americans. There's going to be probably more than 100,000 Americans that will be dead from fentanyl poisoning once they tally up the numbers from 2023, once this year wraps up. But first, I want to ask John, this CNN report of more than 8,600 in a 24-hour period, your reaction?
Well, they still say the border's secure. It's you know, looking at this and seeing how many people are actually coming in, and then watching the White House gaslight us every single day and say that they have things under control. This is out of control. Everyone can see it. If your eyes are open, you're watching the news, you can see how many people are coming in, you know that there's a problem at the border. But for some reason, this administration doesn't think so.
Why was it important for you to be here this weekend? Because of all your work with ICE and this rally tomorrow, and man, it's going to be heartbreaking. If they had 25 people, which they will have many more than that, but 25 people that would come from around the United States to come here to the nation's capital to rally and march and to hold up. You know how many pictures we're going to see tomorrow of dead kids? I mean, dead, younger than you and me. There's a connection there between what you did as a career. You're a United States Air Force veteran. There's a connection, though, between border policy and fentanyl deaths, no?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And our American citizens are being poisoned. They're being poisoned daily. And, you know, this administration needs to come out and say that these cartels are terrorist organizations. They need to take a stand and say that, look, fentanyl is affecting the United States. It's poisoning and killing our people. And we're going to take a stand and we're not going to put up with it anymore.
Also here with me in Washington, D.C., as we continue, 16 minutes after 5 o'clock, we'll get traffic and weather coming up. Richard Holtorf, is he running for Congress? We'll have him coming up at the bottom of the hour. Our friend of the program as well is John Martinez. I love this guy. I mean, I love Fab. He's the best. But he says, you know, when we were in El Paso at the end of February earlier this year, he's like, hey, you know, my longtime friend and a guy that just retired from the Border Patrol, he's going to join us in El Paso. And I think it was love at first sight, brother.
Hey, it's great to be here. And thanks. Thanks for having me on the show again.
You bet. Tell me about your reaction to more than 8,600 in a 24-hour period. John, I mean, you're almost looking at me like you're not saying I told you so, but it's probably more of a surprise to a guy like me than you.
So last week, John and I were down in Ajo watching. Just in 1 day period, there were 7,100 people across the entire country that came off that day. 1,100 was in Ajo, Arizona. I spent 6 years in New Mexico as a Border Patrol agent defending that piece of land down there. I'd never seen anything like this. And there were six agents doing their best on the line. And the scary part about it was they actually left 200 people unmanned in the desert because they had no more resources, they had no more help, and they were just stuck. So who knows what's coming across them with fentanyl coming now. Like what you're talking about, that's all a smokescreen. The cartel is sending these people to occupy the Border Patrol while the real crime, the child trafficking, the sex trafficking, the human trafficking, fentanyl's coming over I can only imagine. So what we're going to see tomorrow, it's going to be heartbreaking, but we'll probably see double that crowd, you know, next year to what's going on. And the administration, like they said, it's the border secured. It makes you wonder, what does an unsecured border look like to this administration?
John, let me ask you, and then we'll get back to Fabricatore here. The fact that it is a marriage, isn't it? Open border fentanyl. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, when I was working, it was all marijuana. And John and I actually had a chance to talk to a person down there who was a resident there, and they said, you know, with fentanyl, it exploded like only a few years ago where it became a topic, because it was always marijuana, the bales, the bundles we would get. And fentanyl wasn't around when I was doing it. It was more meth that you would have. But now fentanyl is coming over in droves. And just, you know, earlier when we were talking, they actually had the first case in Phoenix with this new fentanyl that they are saying is 25% or 25 times more powerful.
This is like that stuff in Philadelphia, the flesh eating stuff.
Correct. Yeah. So when I heard that, I was like, wow. And that's the first case that they recognize in Phoenix. So it's starting to hit. So if it's in Philadelphia now in Phoenix, you're going to start to see it spread all over the country.
If it's in Philly and it's now in Phoenix, John Fabricatore, is it in Denver?
It's more than likely in Denver. I mean, when we were really running a lot of drugs when I was over the FUJOPS teams in Denver, you know, 2015, we were hitting heroin. And then, you know, by 2019 is when we really started seeing the fentanyl really exploding in the Denver area. And it's just going to get worse. We're going to start seeing these other drugs, the zombie flesh-eating xylene that's, you know, destroying people. And unless we get control of the border, more exotic drugs are going to come over. I mean, we have to have operational security. The border needs to be secure, or, you know, the cartels are going to continue to make money. It's going to be the next new thing up. Whatever the next new thing that they can make money on, that's the next thing up. And unless we get control of the border, it's going to continue to happen.
John Fabricatore, John Martinez here in Washington, D.C. as we continue. I want to wrap with a couple more questions, but to both of you, and I'll start with John Fabricatore here. You you obviously, you know, I joke with you on and off the air, you know, they called you Mr. F because one of those congressmen couldn't pronounce your last name. You were here recently. You testified in front of a congressional hearing, in front of a congressional panel. Coming back here, no matter how often you come back, if it's your first time or your thousandth time, is it frustrating for you to be in D.C. and know that what we are talking about, what you guys you both dealt with in your careers, I mean, it's what happens here that spreads out to the rest of the country, like it or not?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, and when I testified, not one Democrat asked me a question. So I was up there and, you know, laying down all of the statistics, all the things that I've seen. Republicans engage with me. The Democrats ignored me except to say that I was a nationalist and a racist and wouldn't let me respond back to that. But that's the problem, that we're so divided that even me going up there and telling them that we have this huge problem, that we have a problem with children disappearing, with child trafficking, with drugs coming into the country, with crimes being committed in the interior of the United States, and I couldn't get one Democrat congressman to engage with me in Congress.
And that is why. Why is that? I know you've told me before.
Yeah, it's number one, I really believe that what I brought with me that day, they could not argue it. I mean, they knew that they couldn't come at me and say that it was wrong because those statistics came from DHS. I got those stats from DHS and threw it back at them. So for them to say that I was wrong would have been saying that this administration was doing a bad job, and they're not going to do that. But, you know, we just need to step up and say we've got an issue, we've got a problem, and it's killing Americans, and we've got to deal with it.
John Fabricatore. John Martinez, I'll wrap with you. When you're here in D.C., I mean, what you dealt with in New Mexico for parts of your career, you've got relatives that are trying to protect and defend this country and the Constitution. Is it more frustrating to be in D.C. than not? Tell me.
No, it's actually good to be here because I think the biggest thing that when John and I were down there was awareness. A lot of people were surprised that there's this much volume coming across because it's not on the TV. It's not being shown. And actually, I showed my father those videos, and he actually said, but I don't see that on the TV. I didn't know it was that bad. And I said, this is only a five-hour period that we had all these people there. I think in a five-hour period when John and I were there, we saw close to, I think, 500-600 people with our own eyes. Like, we could go grab these people. So it is scary. And coming here, it's what needs to be done. And, you know, it's kind of funny now. You're just looking at you know, the politics of it. You look at New York City. You know, Democratic-run city, they can't handle it. Look at Chicago. Residents there are now speaking up. They can't do it.
Denver.
And then I think recently with that 8,000 case you're talking about, the mayor of Eagle Pass is a Democrat, and he said he's waiting for the White House to call, and he says, I feel like I'm abandoned out here in Eagle Pass, Texas, where this is happening, and they have no help. So it is scary. And I think the awareness, what you do on your show and what John and I are trying to do is get more people involved. I think if more people are aware of what's going on in the country, they'll be able to speak up and actually start to make a difference.
Real quick, give me a little plug. Complete Solution Group, how can we find out more and people listening find out more about you on social?
So we're on Instagram at the Complete Solution Group. And actually, we're you know, this is, you're going to probably a little smile. So we started a podcast that we're trying to
add a baby
that we're trying to go there. And I think what John and I want to do, and Sandra, our partner, is just, you know, bring awareness to a lot of different topics that go on that actually impact our law enforcement, our military personnel. And we're just here to help. And also, too, John and I can stay retired, but this still is important to us because our family, our friends, and our communities are going to get crushed by what's going on. And for John, you know, joining
nice. Give us Martinez, I love you, but as we wrap up, I will never get this right. NICE is
National Immigration Center for Enforcement, and so you can get there at immigrationcenterforenforcement.org. Or you can just follow me on Twitter at John E_Fab.
I know what you're doing there. So we need to. Did you hit 1,000 yet?
No,
okay, you're like
short.
Okay, he's four short. Follow John E_Fab FABB on Twitter, and again, the Complete Solution Group Instagram and Facebook as well. Martinez, my man, thank you so much, brother.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, and John, thank you, brother.
Yeah, not a problem. We're proud to be here.
We will be back when we come back. Talking politics, Colorado style, is our friend Bovine Fecal Matter Holtorf. I love this man. He's in our film. We've already interviewed him in northeastern Colorado for our film on fentanyl's deadly impact on Colorado. Now he's in the headline. I mean, CNN says we should be thinking about it. Is Richard Holtorf going to either challenge Ken Buck, or if Ken Buck goes, is Holtorf going to run for Congress? We'll have that next. I'm Stephen Tubbs, live from Washington, D.C. This is 710 KNUS. Midway through the 5 o'clock hour, welcome to your almost official weekend. Stephen Tubbs with you live from Washington, D.C. We are here just about three, four blocks from the White House. And, you know, what a big day to be in D.C. as Joe Biden, the president of the United States, announces officially the White House office for gun violence prevention. That's a thing now. The White House office for or of gun violence prevention. Don't worry, one of the people involved is Kaklyn Kamala. You know, the border czar, you can tell that she's really made a difference there. This is a clown show. And I mentioned last hour, earlier this hour, I mean, I'm knee deep in the swamp here. Coming up, I would say Richard Holtorf, Republican, Colorado, state legislator, he is not a member of any swamp. In fact, there's very little water right now up in northeastern Colorado where he lives. And he is going to be, when we release our fentanyl documentary film, Its Impact on Colorado, next May, Richard Holtorf is in it. So are our previous guests, John Fabricatore and John Martinez as well. And I greatly appreciate both of their time here joining us live from Washington, D.C. So we'll talk with Richard Holtorf coming up. A couple of different things I mentioned last hour late in our final segment. It's really nice of the Boulder County Public Health Department, or whatever your title is up there. It's nice to know that you now take fentanyl seriously, that fentanyl powder has been found in Boulder's illicit drug supply. And one thing that is just so disappointing, and I always try to just shoot straight with you, friends. I don't lie. It doesn't do me any good or you any good. And by not lying, you really can tend to piss people off. But while I'm happy that there was a press release, because it again shows that fentanyl is alive and well in Colorado, because the cartel activity is alive and well in Colorado, it really is such, again, I know I use this term a lot, it is such a clown show, because in the official press release from the Boulder County Public Health, they talk with a harm reduction specialist who, what does she say? She's quoted as saying, well, make sure if you're using illicit drugs or your friends and family are using illicit drugs, make sure that you have a healthy, fresh dose of Narcan on hand. We're not going to make an impact on this if literally a county publicly funded agency like Boulder County Public Health just feels like it's fine in an official press release to say, well, it sucks and your kids may die, but you know what? Here's your warning. You better have that Narcan. It's insanity to me. Absolute insanity to me. 303-696-1971 is our number. Welcome to our potential live stream global audience listening via the app or the website. No text to the studio today since I am on remote. And one of the reasons, if you are just clicking on, the reason that I am here, there is a group that is on social media, and I got to tell you, you can only take its Facebook messaging in doses, because it is so unbelievably sad and depressing and tragic. This group is called Lost Voices of Fentanyl. Its members are in pretty much every state. I don't know if I'll ever get to the bottom of whether we have seen in the past two calendar years, if we have seen at least one death due to fentanyl poisoning in every county in the United States. And if I am wrong in assuming that that is the case, I bet you we're pretty close. But this group tomorrow expects people from at least 45 different states around the country. More than 1,000 are expected to show up. And as John Fabricatore mentioned last hour or last segment, we are going to see people tomorrow by the hundreds holding pictures of their loved ones, wondering why their loved ones aren't here, wondering what this government is going to do about this crisis, this epidemic. So, as I've mentioned also, a little bit self-serving, we're here because we're going to document this as part of Colorado's presence here at a national rally against fentanyl, against cartels. I don't know how political this will get, but you know what? At some point, there is a part of this fentanyl problem, to say the least, a problem. It's not political. Fentanyl will kill a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, somebody who has never voted in his or her life. And so we will document that. And again, with a nod to being self-serving, our film will come out in May of 2024. And though I will no longer have a radio program, trust me, if this station is still on the air, I will be begging for airtime to promote it with you. Jim, let's just publicly question right now. Where the hell is Richard Holthorff? You have my man on.
Right here.
Richard Holthorff is one of my political heroes in Colorado, and that would get me in all kinds of hot water at a Democrat brunch. Mr. Holthorff, welcome back to the program, sir.
Well, thank you, Stephen, and thank you for all the work you're doing on the fentanyl epidemic. It knows no party lines. It is the acid that is destroying and killing our youth, and the progressive left coddling and carrying this as a gentle baby in a blanket is a fool's lot. And I appreciate all the work you're doing to save and bring awareness to this incredibly terrible problem that is afflicting the entire country, brought upon people that want our failure in the future.
Yeah, sorry, sir. You know, look, I'm not letting the cat out of the bag. I've said earlier on the program, you know, we came up to your ranch. We talked with sheriffs. We talked with others in northeastern Colorado. And to say that you were not flat, I mean, you know, and one of the reasons I love you is because you are brutally honest and you don't care if you offend anybody. You're not tiptoeing through the daisies or anything. It's safe to say when people see this film next May, they are going to see one pissed off man named Richard Holthorff. Why were you so angry at the moment when we interviewed you at your ranch a couple of months ago?
Stephen, I will tell you how naive it is for all of us to sit there and watch people die, family, friends, and not see how terrible and destructive this is. My best friend in high school, God rest his soul, is dead today because of drugs. And I watched his journey and cried. He is gone and has been gone for decades. And I still wish I had my best friend back. And this is something you cannot handle the way the progressive left is handling it. There is no solution set coming out of Boulder County. You can't coddle this away. People are dying. And if you care about life and you care about people, you have to deal with this head on and you have to man up. You have to put your big girl pants on and you have to say, we've got to stop this and stop coddling it and shepherding it and trying to guide it somehow over some gentle cliff as if it's going to solve itself, because it is not. And you understand that. And I care about people. I care about humanity and I care about life. As a Christian, as a human, I don't want people to die, and I don't want drugs to take their life. It's such a senseless loss, and I've seen it in my own life, in our own family, and it just angers me. It makes me so upset that we can't face head-on the headwinds that we have and do something to change the trajectory in this country and this state. And we're not. The progressive left is not, and you know it, and I know it. So maybe that'll give you a little insight. I have a personal story. I don't want to tell everybody on national radio about it, but I've lost some people near and dear to me and my best friend in high school.
Yeah. State Representative Richard Holthorff, a friend of the program. By the way, sir, this does not count as our farewell tour, because I want you on at least one more time before November 3rd when I finish this radio program. But I guess, Jim, if you wouldn't mind, Jim, find that drum roll, please, because I don't want to bury the lead. What Mr. Holthorff has talked about is extremely important, obviously. But, ladies and gentlemen, at 20 minutes to 6 on a Friday, September 22nd, Richard Holthorff, are you running for United States Congress?
Beth and Tubbs, I have begun building an exploratory committee to run for CD4. And if you look at what's happening in our state, if you look at what's happening in Washington, D.C., with the current congressman from CD4, this state needs a Republican leader who can carry the torch for Colorado Republicans. This state does not need a congressman who is out there trying to get on CNN and MSNBC and try to be a politico for the liberal left. And it bothers me when I turn on my TV in my hometown, Akron, Colorado, in Washington County, and I see my congressman, Ken Buck, placating and talking to the liberal left and pandering to them. You cannot believe how disruptive that is as a state Republican and a state leader in the House Republican. And not only as a constituent, I cannot tell you how unfortunate it is that our current congressman is not stepping up to his responsibilities. I cannot tell you how disruptive it is to know that our current congressman is trying to be the Liz Cheney of Colorado. I know they went to Yale Law together. I know they're good friends. But you know what? Liz Cheney was lost. She got lost in the establishment sauce and her daddy's footprints. And Ken Buck, I mean, if you're going to take a side, don't. Be Switzerland. The January 6th debacle and the way Ken Buck has handled that, very troubling for Colorado Republicans, many of us. In the district, represent your district if you're a congressman for CD4, not yourself. One thing about statesmanship and politics, and I've learned this in the state house over the last 4 years, it's not about you. It's about the people you represent. And the straw that breaks the camel's back on this is the Biden impeachment inquiry. An inquiry, Stephanie, is just looking into things with additional tools. Who would not welcome that? If you're going to be exonerated, the inquiry will exonerate you. But if there's dirt under your nails, if there's some dirt under the rug, if you've done something heinous and corrupt and illegal, if the inquiry reveals that, regardless of your Princeton law degree and what you think, I will tell you that that inquiry has merit, and you should get behind the Speaker of the House. I'm not saying get in line. Get behind your party. I don't know if you sold out. I don't know what's going on, Stephan.
I'm three blocks. Well,
go ahead.
Richard Holtorf, I got to pick my mouth up, my jaw from the floor here. You just likened Ken Buck. You called him Colorado's Liz Cheney. You stand by that.
Well, I said it because it's starting to smell like that. Where I'm from, we got these smells in the country. I won't tell you what they are, but if it's starting to smell like that, it might be on the bottom of your boot. It might be that. I don't know. But Ken has lost his way, in my humble opinion. If he wants to go back and reflect the sentiment of his district, Ken, do that. But don't go to Washington, D.C. and write books about draining the swamp, and then you act like you're part of the swamp. I mean, what's going on?
Brother?
What's going on, Stephan?
Yeah, so what does this exploratory committee look like? What do you got to do? I mean, you know, this is the first salvo, isn't it?
I don't think your assessment is inaccurate.
Thank you very much, sir.
I have a 7-person committee that I'm building, and I've had people say to me, and these are people in the district, Holtorf, don't waste your time on the committee. Go get the seat, because we know you'll represent the district. Wow. And Ken Buck, perhaps you're not. Now, I don't want to make this personal. I've endorsed Ken in previous elections. He's been a staunch conservative until recent times, but something is going on. Where is Ken Buck? You know that thing, Where's Waldo? Remember that one?
Yes,
where's Ken Buck in the conservative circle? Where is he? And why is he not grounded in Colorado Republican politics and CD4? For crying out loud, he was a state party chair. Where are you, brother? Because I don't know.
So this is, as we wrap up with you, you know, you and I could talk for 5 hours. I don't know if anybody would listen, but you and I would, you would listen to me. We'd listen to each other. But listen, is this officially, you know, with this exploratory committee, this doesn't sound like, well, I'll do this if Ken Buck drops out. You're saying that if your seven-person committee tells you, you know, the reading the tea leaves, that things look good, whether or not Ken Buck wants to seek re-election or not, you just may be in.
Well, Stefan, let me say it this way. Number one, what is best for Colorado? You see, this isn't about me. My mother taught me this a long time ago. And definitely in politics, it's never about you. And if your ego is that big, if you think it's all about you and you're that important, then you're already a failed statesman. You're a failed statesman. And that may apply. I don't know. But I will tell you that in this particular case, you need to, and I need to, and this committee will make a determination, number one. Is this the right thing to do at this time in my political career? Because I have a very important job in the state Republican Party in the state House as the whip. And we have brought more power to bear and more angst and effort against bad Democrat policy in Colorado for a 19-member caucus than anybody's ever seen in the last session. And I've been leading that effort, make no mistake about it, with the Mighty 19. And I'm talking a group of 19 warriors that have stayed together for once. In the last 4 years I've been in politics, our caucuses stay together, not try to come unraveled. But all that aside, this committee is going to tell me, and I haven't officially filed with the FEC for the record in exploratory committee. I've had people tell me, don't get in this thing and run because it's time. But is it time? The committee is going to tell me if it's time. You know, a state race is one thing. A federal race, this is the big leagues. You're going from Division II college ball at UNC, playing for the UNC Bears, now to go into play for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. Is there a time frame on this? As we got to take a break, but is there a time frame on this? When do you think you'll make it? When do you expect to hear from the committee? Is it this year?
Yeah. It will be more than likely in the November, December time frame.
All right.
And it's going to be predicated on a lot of factors. And, I appreciate you letting me on and talking about this. And this is serious, though. This is important for Colorado and the Colorado Republicans. And that's why I appreciate you and your leadership on the radio and what you do.
Of course, sir. House Minority Whip in the state legislature, our friend of the program, Richard Holtorf. Before I say goodbye, though, can you please just say it's one thing for me to say it, but it's another thing for you, bovine fecal matter.
I'll say it this way for you, Stefan. Being a country boy from eastern Colorado and a cattleman and cattle rancher and cowboy, there's been some fecal matter that's been secreting out of Washington, and it's reaching all the way out to CD4 and getting on our boots.
I love you, sir. I'll talk to you offline. House Minority Whip, State Legislature from Akron, Colorado, Richard Holtorf, one of our golden Hall of Famers when it comes to radio live interviews. I thank the representative. And Jim, let's take our break now as we are live from D.C. in the heart of the swamp. This is 710 KNUS. Do you see why, friends, as we are live from Washington, D.C., just blocks from the White House? Very short segment here. I'm pulling a George Brockler. Hey-o. Even on a Friday evening, listening to this program and this radio frequency, I'm still reeling from our friend of the program, Richard Holtorf, who did confirm with us tonight that he has a seven-person exploratory committee. He's ready to challenge Ken Buck. If you are just joining us, I don't like to beg you. I'm going to guide you. This hour will be put up commercial break free, as Jim does every hour of every show we do. And you need to hear Richard Holtorf, who started with us about 5:35. He called Ken Buck Colorado's Liz Cheney. If that doesn't make Politico by Monday, I don't know what would. Thank you to Richard Holtorf. Coming up in less than an hour, our Friday Homestretch film review, film of the week. Parallax View, the Parallax View. Jim, let's hit it.
Thank you. I am...
It is all about politics. You could say the machinations behind politics, assassinations, the Parallax View from 1974, starring Warren Beatty, Hume Cronin, Paula Prentice, though she's in it for less than 20 minutes. It didn't end well for her in the film. Clips, trivia, more coming up about 6:45. Jim, as we only have about a minute and a half or so, you took a call off the air about the reason, one of the reasons why we are here in Washington, and the primary reason is tomorrow, the Lost Voices of Fentanyl. Hundreds of people who have lost their loved ones, they will march from the Washington Monument to the White House, just a few blocks from where I am right now. What did one of our callers say? Because I think they're onto something.
Well, he called in and he said that we should refer to the people that are against or are for, I guess, fentanyl. We should call them fentanyl deniers, going along with the COVID deniers.
Kind of like COVID deniers.
Yep, and the illegals would be
immigration.
Immigration deniers.
See, thank you, Jim. Listen, thank you, Mrs. Or Ms. Listener. Because, see, here's what we should do. You're onto something. What would they do if they feel we're not, it's just like with many conservatives with the way they felt about COVID. You're a COVID denier. You're this or that. Here's what the Republicans should do. Here's what conservatives can do. Take her advice. Flip it on them. Oh, I see you're a fentanyl denier. Like, you know, the harm reduction lady with Boulder County. You know, not saying how bad fentanyl is. That it's, oh, my God, it's in Boulder County, too? Oh, my God. Instead, she's like, well, we hope that you have your healthy, fresh supply of Narcan. I agree with our caller. Thank you, ma'am. Fentanyl and immigration deniers. Our friend of the program, Andrea Thomas, the founder of Voices for Awareness, live from D.C., coming up next. This is 710 KNUS, live from D.C.